St. John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 1 to 21. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by the other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice, but they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." The Jews who heard these words were again divided. Many of them said, "He is demon-possessed and driving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the saying of man possessed by demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Brilliant. Thank you very much indeed. And good morning, everyone. It's lovely to be back at the 11 o'clock with you and to see you this morning. Shall I pray as we start? His sheep follow him because they know his voice. Father, we thank you so much for your voice in your word and for the chance that we have to look at it together this morning. And we pray that as we do so, you would help us to listen to your voice. Please be at work in us for what is pleasing for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. One of my favourite moments when I was at school was when we arrived one day to find that a whole flock of sheep had found their way onto our cricket pitch. There were sheep everywhere. They were on the wicket. They were clambering under the cricket covers. Someone almost managed to smuggle one of them into his maths classroom. Efforts were made to move them. There was a great moment when the deputy head got out there with a pair of gloves and a whistle. And we watched with great amusement as the sheep ran rings around him. Of course, the only thing that brought the mayhem to a close was when someone got hold of the local farmer to come and round them up. The Bible is full of sheep metaphors. We as humans, it says, are like sheep. We're vulnerable. None of us are immortal. We're prone to wandering from the right path. And as with the flock at my school, we need a shepherd to guide us. This summer, we are looking at the great I am sayings of Jesus in John's Gospel. And today we're on I am the good shepherd. Jesus' claim to be that shepherd that we need. And if we're Christians, we may well know this saying well. But we'll also be aware of how easily we can wander from Jesus, how we can even look to rival shepherds to guide us in life instead, whether those be people or commodities like our culture or peer pressure. But wherever we are with Christian things today, I hope that as we look at this great passage, we will be able to see afresh that there is no better place to be than under the Good Shepherd, Jesus. Like many parts of John's Gospel, this isn't a passage which fits neatly into chunks. Instead, there's the general metaphor, which is introduced in verses 1 to 5, and then two sections of explanation in verses 7 to 10, and then 11 to 18. And so instead of going section by section, I think it makes sense to look at the big themes that this draws out. We're going to consider four this morning. And the first is this, that the Good Shepherd alone provides life in verses 7 to 10. So verse 7 has another I am saying. Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep." Really, this is an extension of the shepherd metaphor. We're to imagine a sheep pen in the countryside. The shepherd brings his sheep into it at night and closes the gate to keep them safe from wild animals. In fact, many shepherds in Jesus' time lay down in the gateway to keep their sheep safe. There's a clear overlap between the I am the gate and the I am the good shepherd ideas. And the point is that the sheep's lives depend on the shepherd. Verse 9, whoever enters through me will be saved. If they stay outside, they will be harmed, but if they come in, they will have life. And not just life in its basic form, but in abundance. So continuing in verse 9, they will come in and go out and find pasture. The second half of verse 10, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. But the first half of verse 10, we see that there are also thieves and robbers who only steal and kill and destroy. These are the people we see first in verse 1, who didn't enter through the gate, but climbed in by some other way. Verse 8 tells us that these are all who have come before me. And this refers to Israel's religious leaders. Back in the Old Testament, they had been the shepherds to guide God's people, but they had failed. There are many references to this, but the fullest is perhaps in Ezekiel chapter 34, and a few verses are coming up on the screen. Let me read them to you. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to you, shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak, or healed those who are ill, or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays, or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. And in the time of Jesus, nothing had changed. Do you see here in verse 1 that while many would have heard Jesus' words here, his primary audience is the Pharisees back in John chapter 10. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, he starts here. So this follows on from the previous chapter, which we looked at last week, if you were here, in which Jesus heals a man born blind. But the Pharisees protest that he's done it on the Sabbath, and they class this as an act of work. They've come to care more about human regulations than about God's flock. They're ruling harshly and brutally. Verse 1, they haven't got into the sheepfold through the gate, Jesus, because they've rejected him. And so therefore they are the thieves and the robbers. And history is littered with leaders who have let their people down. The communist revolution of 1917 in Russia promised people a utopia in which everyone would be equal. They promised peace, bread, land, food and property for everyone. But ultimately, they delivered none of those things. Under the leader Stalin alone, the government caused perhaps 20 million people to die because of its own policies. By the 1980s, communist leaders lived in huge mansions, held luxurious feasts, while normal Russians had barely enough food to survive. And sadly, we will all know leaders who have let us down. Perhaps politicians who promised much that they couldn't deliver, or line managers, teachers, even church leaders. And even good leaders, if they point us away from Jesus, our source of life, they will ultimately harm us. But back in Ezekiel chapter 34, God promised a better shepherd. So a few more verses are coming up on the screen. And he says this, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered. I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. And so when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, it's not just a metaphor. He is saying that he is this shepherd. He is the descendant of David, God's Messiah, and in him God himself, who has come to save his sheep. And if I'm someone who's not a Christian, if I don't follow Jesus, Jesus tells me that he is the only shepherd who can provide me with life. It's through him that I am saved and forgiven. It's through him I have eternal life and life in its fullness. And so it's to him I must go and make him my shepherd. Verse 10, back in John, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And for Christians, I am to remember that it's not other people or other things or pleasures which bring me life to the full. God may give me those things, but it is in Jesus that life to the full is found. And so the job of Christian leaders, the job of all of us in our families and friendships, is not to point people to ourselves as the answer to their problems and needs, or to point them to other people, which we can often be tempted to do. It's to point them to our good shepherd, Jesus. The good shepherd alone provides life. Second theme to look at, the good shepherd knows his sheep intimately, verses 3 and 14 to 15. And this is a big theme. So in verse 3, the gatekeeper opens the gate for the shepherd, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Here the image seems to be in the town. There would typically be a communal pen where several families would keep their sheep at night. And in the morning, the different shepherds would come and each would have their own special call, which just their own flock would recognise. So when they called, their sheep would follow them out and the others would stay put. But it would be quite rare for shepherds to be like verse 3 and to call each sheep by name and know them individually. This idea of knowledge is expanded on in verse 14. Jesus here says, "I am the good shepherd," for the second time. So he really wants us to notice what he says next. And it's this idea of knowledge which he points to. "I know my sheep," he says, "and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father." It makes such a difference when someone knows us, doesn't it? Perhaps you can think of a time when someone remembered your name or something about you and you just didn't expect them to. Perhaps you'd only met them once or twice. Perhaps they were quite important, but they remembered and how much you valued them for it. Or perhaps the opposite happened. I had a colleague who always called me Paul instead of Phil. I corrected him a few times. I made a point of signing off every email as Phil. After 5 years, I hope we might be getting somewhere. And then he started calling me Andy. But if we ever have a big decision to make, if we ever want to chat something through with someone, it's probably not people like that we will turn to. It's people who really know us. But there is no one who knows us better than Jesus, not even ourselves. Do you see in verse 15, it's remarkable, isn't it? Jesus says, "I know my sheep just as God the Father knows me, and I know the Father." You cannot get a more intimate knowledge of one another than between God the Father and the Son, and yet that is how he knows us. He knows our strengths, our characters, our fears, our needs. He knows the depths of sin that we are capable of, and yet he still loves us and treasures us. And so who better to look to in life, to consult, to trust? The Good Shepherd knows his sheep intimately. Third, the Good Shepherd leads his sheep proactively. And verses 3 to 5 and 16. As a family, we enjoy the odd expedition in the countryside. And as the children have got older, we have Harry who's 13, Rory who's 11. My version of leadership on these expeditions has changed. So in the past, I led from the front. Now I often find myself several steps behind, like some poor Olympic cyclist struggling not to be dropped from the lead pack. I have kept the map. That is a deliberate step to ensure that no one can get too far ahead of me without getting hopelessly lost. But I very much lead from behind. But that is not how Jesus leads. So verse 4 here, after he's brought his sheep out of the pen, he goes on ahead of them. In Psalm 23, which we sung earlier, that great psalm, "The Lord leads. The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness." God is not stumbling behind us, around us, saying, "What are they doing now? How am I going to clear up this mess?" He goes ahead of us. And that doesn't mean life will be easy. Jesus went to the cross and he calls his followers to a life of sacrifice too. But it is reassuring to know. So perhaps next year we're facing new challenges, things that we're worried about. Well, God goes ahead of us to prepare our way. Perhaps we're going through some really difficult times. We cannot understand what is happening, but we can know that God is going ahead of us. As we look back on life, perhaps we can think of times when God led us to a Bible verse at just the right time, or when we had a conversation with a friend, or something happened to cheer us just when we needed it, because God goes ahead of us. And he leads us by his voice. That is a big theme here as well. It comes first in verse 3 when he calls his sheep. Second half of verse 4, his sheep follow him because they know his voice. Verse 16, Jesus brings in other sheep, people from all nations, by his voice. And his voice comes to us through the Bible. Jesus calls us by his word. He leads us through life by it. And you see in verse 5 that by his Spirit, he teaches us, his sheep, to recognize his word above all rival influences we could have. It says they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Christians are to be people who are immersed in the Bible as God leads us. The Good Shepherd leads his people proactively. And fourth and final theme to look at, the Good Shepherd commits to his sheep sacrificially. And that comes in verses 11 to 18. So in this last section, the theme of the shepherd dying for his sheep becomes the dominant one. So verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And of verse 15, we get again, I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 17, the reason the Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. And then again, verse 18, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. And by means of contrast, a new figure appears here, the hired hand who's been hired in to look after the sheep. They're not like the thief, intentionally harmful. They just care more about themselves than the sheep. So verse 12, the hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. This could point to another type of religious teacher who lacks the commitment of Jesus. For us, I suppose it could represent a person who can't sustain their commitment to us, or a commodity, success, happiness, image. Those sort of things can promise much, but they will never stick to us reliably in life. But when it comes to the good shepherd, do you see here how the metaphor is stretched to breaking point? It would have been pretty unusual for a shepherd to die protecting their flock, because there'd be no one to look after their sheep if they did. If it did happen, it would surely be an accident. Perhaps they died in the crossfire as a lion or wolf attacked. But here, verse 18, Jesus says, no one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. He plans his death for the sheep to take away their sins on the cross. And then verse 18, he takes it back up again, his life. He rises again to enable him to shepherd them in life now and beyond death as they go with him through it. We can have the most dedicated friends and families in this life, but none of them will be able to take us beyond death, and none of them will be able to match the care for us that Jesus shows us now. He commits to his sheep sacrificially. As I've spent time in this passage this week, the question I have kept coming back to is, why would I ever want to wander for a moment from a shepherd like this? That the thief and the robber will only harm me. The hired hands of this life will never see me through, nor will my best efforts in life or my best plans. It is the Good Shepherd alone who brings life, and life to the full. So it's to him we must turn to if we've never done so before, and it's to him we must always point others back to. The Good Shepherd knows us more intimately than anyone, so we can trust him entirely. He leads us proactively so we can know his care each day and his words. And he commits to us sacrificially. Whatever we do, whatever anyone else does, he will never let us go. John Newton, the hymn writer, once said these words: "I am prone to puzzle myself about 20 things which are equally out of my power and equally unnecessary, if the Lord be my shepherd." Shall we pray? The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. Dear Father, we thank you so much that the Lord Jesus has come as our good shepherd. He is the one who brings us life, who knows us, who leads us, who died for us. And we pray that you would forgive us for when we wander from him for a moment, and yet we thank you that he is the shepherd who draws us to himself and who calls us on each day. And so we pray that you would help us to know his voice, to love his ways, and to rejoice in his care for us in ever-increasing measure. For your glory's sake, amen.